RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia ready to host World Culture Forum 2016. Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia prioritized economic diplomacy. Now, the news in details. The Indonesian government is ready to host the 2016 World Culture Forum starting from 10 to 14 of October in Bali. Director General of Culture, Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, said on Tuesday in Jakarta that the government has spread 1,500 invitations for the forum, theme Culture for an Inclusive Sustainable Planet. In addition to foreign public participation, Hilmar added that the World Culture Forum will also be attended by several ministries from Asian and Latin American countries.
Kita sekarang ini dari 1,500 peserta yang
We have received confirmation 60% from 1,500 invitations. We expect more confirmation, as usually people register in the last minutes before the forum begins. As of now, there are 1,300 confirmations from 65 countries. Ministers from 13 Asian and Latin American countries have confirmed their participation. This will add the value of the forum. The 2016 World Culture Forum is scheduled to be opened by President Joko Widodo on October 13. The United Nations Secretary General, as well as the Director General of UNESCO, Irina Bokova, is also scheduled to deliver their remarks on video conference. In addition, former Indonesian President Megawati Sukarnoputri is also scheduled to deliver her keynote speech at the forum. The World Culture Forum is to discuss strategic issues and recommend policies for sustainable development of world culture. Economic diplomacy is one of the priorities of the Indonesian foreign policies which is executed now, especially by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to Indonesia. The economic diplomacy emphasizes all activities related to trade, tourism, and investment, or TTI. This was stated by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi in her speech at the opening of the Diplomatic Activity and Chambers of Commerce Gathering, Sustaining Confidence, Strengthening Partnership, on Tuesday, October 4th in Jakarta.
Economic diplomacy is one of the priorities of Indonesia foreign policy. Apart from 132 Indonesian mission abroad, which committed to facilitating business community to do business in Indonesia, we have here at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs an Economic Diplomacy Task Force with mandate, among others, to give a quick response to any TTI-related inquiries and questions.
Minister Retno also said that in the last 2 years, Indonesian economic development is promising. Indonesia becomes the largest economy in the Southeast Asia with growth of around 5% per year and the number of middle-class people increases. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi reaffirmed the importance of strengthening cooperation between diplomatic communities and chambers of commerce in the world. In her remarks at the Diplomatic and Chambers of Commerce Gathering on Tuesday in Jakarta, Retno said, the urgency to strengthen cooperation between the chambers of commerce and industry among countries are becoming more important due to current economic challenges that has been significantly raised.
This mutually beneficial relation is even more important today in a period where economic challenges is becoming more complex and where confidence need to continuously be raised. In this regard, the theme for today's gathering, Sustaining Confidence, Strengthening Partnership, is therefore appropriate.
Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi further said that Indonesia has a strong commitment to continue to open and make the national economy becoming more competitive. According to her, the Indonesian government is committed to support the agenda by focusing on several development, including maritime infrastructure, as well as connectivity and increase in investment. Moreover, Retno said that Indonesian government has issued 13 economic package policy and deregulation aimed at creating a positive investment climate as a priority of Indonesia's foreign policy. In this regard, Retno added that Indonesia's Economic Diplomacy Task Force has been able to facilitate 277 business matchmaking with 8,888 businessmen with a total transaction of $21.5 million in the period of January to July 2016. The Sixth World Peace Forum will take place in Jakarta from November 1st until 4th, 2016. The biennial forum is held by the Center for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilization in cooperation with Muhammadiyah and Cheng Ho Multicultural Education Trust, Malaysia. World Peace Forum has been held since 2006 by presenting the religious leaders, policymakers, intellectuals, politicians, and activists from around the world. The theme of this year is Countering Violent Extremism, Human Dignity, Global Injustice, and Collective Responsibility. Violent extremism in the name of religion, ethnocentric and political interests has been one of the most dangerous threats to the civilization. The Secretary General of Muhammadiyah, Abdul Mu'ti, in a press conference on Tuesday said, the theme is relevant to the World Peace Forum of this year.
Tema yang diambil terkait dengan countering violent extremism, menurut saya menjadi sangat relevan karena berbagai macam.
The theme Countering Violent Extremism is particularly relevant for a wide range of acts of violence that have their roots in extremism. However, extremism was not always rooted in religion. Many are rooted in politics and partly rooted in economic and cultural issues. This is a big challenge in the current era where we see that the world is far from the ideals of peace.
Ini adalah sebuah tantangan besar di mana dalam era sekarang ini kita menyaksikan dunia yang semakin jauh dari cita ideal perdamaian.
Abdul Mu'ti said further that violence also occurred in the country, whether committed by individuals and groups with different motives. The forum aims to provide a political appeal that can contribute to create a world order that is more equitable and more peaceful. Until Tuesday, October 4th, as many as 40 delegations from abroad have confirmed their participation. The forum is expected to provide policy recommendation and approaches that more appropriate to the national and international governments in the fight against violent extremism. President Joko Widodo is planned to open the forum. The Indonesian government hoped that the 2016 World Culture Forum to be held in Bali will result a resolution to put culture as a backbone in the national development agenda. In addition to that, Director General of Culture, Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid on Tuesday in Jakarta said that the World Culture Forum is also expected to become a platform towards cultural development and preservation efforts in all countries.
Kita sekarang ini dari 1.500 peserta yang diundang di Sebar, itu sudah dapat lebih dari 50%.
On October 13, in a resolution will be issued from the forum. The expectation is that besides resolution, the World Culture Forum can also be a platform or basis for the world to discuss cultural issues as part of development efforts. World Culture Forum will be a platform, so it should be held continuously.
Dan ini yang menambah tentunya bobot dari pertemuan ini.
Furthermore, Hilmar Farid said that strengthening and preservation's efforts cannot only rely on government. According to him, such efforts should also be supported by every stakeholders related to cultural development. Besides seminars, the World Culture Forum will involve Youth Forum. It was aimed at providing opportunities for young people to discuss important issues related to culture. Indonesia will propose the creation of an Asia-Pacific Civil Aviation Group if it is elected to the Council of the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, of Category 3 for the 2016-2019 term, an official said. Special envoy of the Indonesian Transportation Minister to ICAO, Indro Yono Susilo, said in Montreal on Tuesday, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has come up with a proposal now that only the Asia-Pacific region has no civil aviation group. In addition to serving as discussion media to answer future challenges to civil aviation, the presence of the civil aviation group will play a significant role in raising support to any of its member bid for the membership of the ICAO Council. The minister also said that it is highly regrettable that Asia-Pacific countries have no group to support each other. The Indonesian embassy in Damascus, Syria, repatriated 26 Indonesian nationals, mostly were migrant workers, due to the intensifying conflicts between armed groups in the country. The embassy said in a press release received by Tempo on October 4th that this is the 280th wave of repatriations. As many as 26 people have been repatriated directly from Syria's Damascus International Airport. The repatriated citizens are from West Java, Central Java, East Java, and West Nusa Tenggara. Embassy spokespersons A.M. Sidki revealed that the Indonesian government had permanently stopped sending migrant workers to Middle East. According to Sidki, the victims were sent after the government issued a moratorium on migrant workers to Syria in 2011. The human trafficking case was exposed at the placement of the victims involved no employment contracts. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is Radio Republik Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. Today's commentary is on controversy around Duterte. The hot issue in the Philippines today is an alleged coup plan to topple President Rodrigo Duterte. The military initially did not acknowledge this rumor, but a military spokesman, Brigadier General Restituto Padilla, on Monday, October the 3rd, expressed various military response to it. This issue arose when last Saturday, October the 1st, Cabinet Secretary Leoncio Evasco disclosed information about possible coup against Duterte. According to Evasco, there are parties who do not like Duterte, particularly narcotics traffickers and military faction who were upset because of military relation with United States is getting distanced. What was revealed by Evasco is related to President Duterte's statement on Sunday, October the 2nd, who intended to expel U.S. troops from the Philippines. There is an assumption that Duterte felt degraded by the United States and plans to cancel the bilateral defense cooperation with the United States, namely strengthening defense cooperation agreement signed by the previous President Benigno Aquino. In the agreement, the Philippines gives access to the American military to offset the Chinese military's role in the South China Sea. The Philippines and America are close friends and allies, but not so with Duterte, who often threatened to end the relationship with the U.S. and is getting closer to China and Russia. Not only tension with the military, Duterte also has to face narcotics mafia, which is quite entrenched in the community. In a statement, Duterte felt compelled to kill millions of drug dealers, even likened himself to the German dictator during World War II, Adolf Hitler. Duterte did not hesitate to do the cleaning with the war against the perpetrators of narcotics trafficking. On the same day with the statement about the American military repel, Duterte apologized for having caused controversy by comparing himself to Hitler. What have been done by Duterte against narcotics offender is a manifestation of his promise during the campaign to eradicate narcotics. Duterte then easily had won the general election in the Philippines. Since his coming to power last June, more than 3,000 people lost their lives due to anti-narcotics operations. 1,200 people were shot dead by the police, the rest were killed by unknown persons. In Parliament, Duterte faced charges of committing human rights violations against traffickers. As a result, some politicians have been thrown out from their seats in Parliament. The world, including Indonesia, would agree with the strict action against narcotic traffickers, in a way justified according to the rules of the country concerned or generally in the international world. Indonesia does not want to interfere in the matter of the Philippine military cooperation with other countries. However, as a fellow ASEAN member countries, Indonesia thanks the Duterte's government for directly or indirectly helping liberate Indonesian seamen held hostage by Abu Sayyaf gunmen some time ago. Well, that was commentary today on controversy around Duterte. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which features important events happening on this date in the past. We start from an event which happened on October 5, 1945, when the Indonesian military TNI was established. The Indonesian military, or TNI, was born in a struggle to maintain the independence of Indonesia from the Dutch ambition, who wanted colonize Indonesia again through force of arms. The Indonesian military TNI started out as BKR, or Badan Keamanan Rakyat, or People's Security Corps, which was formed on August 29, 1945. It was an organization of people taking up arms in a united force to ensure security remained intact across the newly declared independent Indonesia. It was created more as a civil defense force than an army. When confrontations became sharp and hostile between Indonesia and the Allied forces in December 1945, TKR, or Tentara Keamanan Rakyat, or People's Security Army, was formed, and this was a move taken to formalize, unite, and organize the splintered pockets of independent troopers, or Laskar, across Indonesia, ensuring a more professional military approach to contend with the Netherlands and the Allied force invaders. In 1947, TRI, or Tentara Rakyat Indonesia, or Indonesian People Army, was formed in a further step to professionalize the army and increase its ability to engage systematically. Tentara Rakyat stood for the People's Army, meaning it was open to all levels of the community, whilst also thereby legalizing conscription drafts when necessary. In 1949, then, TRI changed its name to TNI, or Tentara Nasional Indonesia, or the Indonesian National Army. In 1962, the Indonesian military changed its name again to Indonesian Armed Forces. The name change was caused by the merging of the armed forces and the police force in order to be in one command. At the close of the reform era, ABRI, or the Indonesian Armed Forces, changed into the Indonesian military TNI. Therefore, every October the 5th is always celebrated as Military Day, although that date is the formation of the People's Security Army. And the next event was in 1966, when the United Nations, through UNESCO and ILO, formulated a recommendation entitled Recommendation Concerning the Status of Teachers. UNESCO and ILO issued the 13th chapter of 146 article recommendation to consider more carefully the position and role of the teacher as an educator and labor. The day of issuance of the recommendation was set as the World Teachers' Day. In addition to the World Teachers' Day, every country also commemorates the National Teachers' Day. It is commemorated differently in every country. In Indonesia, the Teachers' Day commemoration coincides with the founding of the Indonesian Teachers Association on November 22, 1945. And we end today in history with the establishment of a province in Indonesia. West Sulawesi Province, with Mamuju as its capital, is the 33rd Indonesian province established on October 5, 2004 by Law No. 26 of 2004. West Sulawesi Province covers five regencies, namely North Mamuju, Mamuju, Majene, Polewali Mandar, and Mamasa regencies. It has 58 sub-districts, 50 villages, and 393 urban villages. The province is around 16,900 square kilometers wide, with more than 1 million population. 80% of its population live as farmers, and 7.5% of them are fishermen. It is located on the triangular line of South Sulawesi, Central Sulawesi, and East Kalimantan. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's Voy Green. Today we present a topic on biosphere reserve management, a proof of sustainable development. So stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi said biosphere reserves in Indonesia is evidence of government's commitment to sustainable development which benefit the people. This was said by Minister Retno while receiving Indonesian Ambassador to France, Andorra and Monaco, and permanent representatives to the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, Hotma Ngaraja Panjaitan, in the handing over of certificate ceremony of UNESCO's Man and Biosphere at the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Jakarta, Monday, October the 3rd. The certificate is for Blambangan area, East Java province. Blambangan is located in four regencies, namely Banyuwangi, Jember, Bondowoso, and Situbondo. This site comprises three national parks, namely Alas Purwo, Baluran, and Meru Betiri, as well as Nature Reserve Ijen Crater. Blambangan has been designated as a biosphere reserve and is recognized as one of the network members of World Biosphere Reserve by UNESCO. Blambangan Biosphere Reserve consists of land and marine ecosystems, with a view, savanna, and different types of woods. The recognition was given at a meeting of the 28th International Coordinating Council Program, Man and Biosphere, held in Lima, Peru, in March 2016. Minister Retno said the designation of Blambangan as a biosphere reserve determination indicates that Blambangan is potentially eligible to set as the area of sustainable development. According to Minister Retno, determination of Blambangan as the 11th World Biosphere Reserve shows the world's recognition towards Indonesia's natural protected resources. The program Man and the Biosphere is one of the UNESCO programs which was launched in 1971 as a forum for intergovernmental cooperation to improve the relationship between humans and the environment on the basis of interdisciplinary science. Man and the Biosphere aims to promote economic development that takes into account aspects of environmental sustainability. Currently, there are 669 Man and the Biosphere sites worldwide, and 11 of them are in Indonesia. Retno Marsudi asserted the handing over of Man and the Biosphere certificate is not the end of the government's efforts to protect the natural wealth of Indonesia. Minister Retno hoped the joining of Blambangan into the World's Biosphere Reserve Network will provide benefits for conservation, research, and support sustainable development that will benefit the surrounding community. And listener, that was Voy Green.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesia will propose the creation of an Asia-Pacific Civil Aviation Group if it is elected to the Council of the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, of Category 3 for the 2016-2019 term. The Indonesian embassy in Damascus, Syria, repatriated 26 Indonesian nationals, mostly were migrant workers, due to the intensifying conflict between armed groups in the country. Listener, that was Nusin Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is with a pleasure that we meet with you again in our program Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary arts, the fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a richness of Indonesian culture which has been recognized throughout the world. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesian people have just commemorated National Batik Day on 2nd October. 7 years ago, UNESCO decided batik as masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity. Batik is drawing technique on clothes by using malam or candle. The word of batik comes from Javanese language, which consists of amba and titik. Amba means writing, and tik means point or dot. The definition of batik is completely group of dot, which is described in beautiful pattern. Listeners, every region in Indonesia has different motif because the motif of batik can be influenced by geographical location, local tradition, as well as natural condition and social community. Usually, batik is identical with regions on Java Island, whereas batik actually does not only belong to Java. Papua has also interesting batik which does not lose out with other regions in Indonesia. If usually batik color tends to be soft and dark, Papua batik is known with bright colors and differs such as yellow, green, blue, and red. Papua batik usually uses motif of kamaro or standing statue, cendrawasi or paradise bird, honai, a traditional Papua house, asmat, wooden statue of asmat tribe, and sentani, picture of groove wooden root, which is circular. Generally, motif of Papua batik shows nature and culture of Papua. Papua batik is distinguished to become two types, namely batik prada and common batik. Batik prada is batik clothes, which is made by using golden touching, while common batik does not use golden lines. And for the price, Prada batik is more expensive than common batik. Like most batik in general, Papua batik is also provided writing and printing batik. Writing batik is made traditionally and has higher art value, while printing batik is made by using machine. Certainly, the two kinds of batik have different quality. Original Papua batik began when the government of Indonesia received aid from UNDP to Cultural Empowerment of Eastern of Indonesia in 1985. The government directly brought a batik maker from Java Island, especially Yogyakarta, to train Papuan people. making of Papua batik is inspired from archaeological relics which are spread in Papua, such as cave painting which exists in Nubia. Additionally, heritage of artifacts and other fossil also inspire the creativity of Papua batik. Papua batik is considered not only contain of historical element but also archaeology element. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring batik of Papua. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Ke Pasar Ikan, which in English means going to the fish market. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Pasar ikan, which means fish market. Selamat pagi, good morning, bagaimana, bagaimana, how, kamu, kamu, you. Hari ini, today. Sangat baik, very good. Terima kasih, thank you. Pergi kemana, where are you going? Ke pasar ikan, going to the fish market. Membeli apa? Membeli apa? What do you want to buy? Ikan kakap, snapper. Ikan dori, dory fish. Cumi, cumi, calamari. Kerang, kerang, shell. Udang, udang, shrimp. Kepiting, kepiting, crab. Membuat, membuat, to make. Nasi goreng seafood, seafood fried rice. Memasak, memasak, to cook. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Ke Pasar Ikan, or in English means going to the fish market. The conversation is between A. Nina and B. Lucy. A. Nina. Selamat pagi Lucy. Selamat pagi Lucy, which means good morning Lucy. B. Lucy. Selamat pagi Nina. Selamat pagi Nina. Good morning Nina. A. Nina. Bagaimana kabar kamu hari ini? Bagaimana kabar kamu hari ini? Which means, how are you today? B. Lucy. Sangat baik. Bagaimana denganmu? Sangat baik. Bagaimana denganmu? I'm very well. How about you? A. Nina. Baik juga. Terima kasih. Baik juga. Terima kasih. Which means, I'm fine too. Thank you. B. Lucy, kamu ingin pergi kemana hari ini? Kamu ingin pergi kemana hari ini? Which means, where are you going today? A. Nina, saya ingin ke pasar ikan Muara Karang. Saya ingin ke pasar ikan Muara Karang. Which means, I want to go to Muara Karang Fish Market. B. Lucy, kamu ingin membeli apa? Kamu ingin membeli apa? Which means, what do you want to buy? A. Nina, membeli ikan kakap, ikan dori, cumi, kerang, udang, dan kepiting. Membeli ikan kakap, ikan dori, cumi, kerang, udang, dan kepiting. I want to buy snapper, dory fish, calamari, shell, shrimp, and crab. Aku ingin membuat nasi goreng seafood. Aku ingin membuat nasi goreng seafood. I want to make seafood fried rice. B. Lucy, baiklah, selamat memasak. Baiklah, selamat memasak. Which means, all right, happy cooking. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. And sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. It's a great pleasure to meet you in our daily program, Music Corner. In today's edition, I will dedicate to you some nostalgic songs sung by Indonesian singers Chris Biantoro. Stay tuned.
Yang berlumpur dan bernoda, di sanalah kini engkau berada. Mengapa, oh mengapa, aku tak percaya. Dulu pernah aku mengagumi. Sekarang pun tetap mengharapkanmu. Mengapa, oh mengapa, tak perlu bertanya. Andaikan mungkin ingin daku mengajak kau saja dan lupakan semua yang terjadi. Anggaplah angin lalu. Sampai kapankah kau harus mungkinkah kau ingin terus begini? Mengapa, oh mengapa, aku tak percaya. saja dan lupakan semua yang terjadi, anggaplah angin lalu. Sampai kapankah kau harus mungkinkah kau ingin terus begini? Mengapa, mengapa aku tak percaya?
Listener, the song you've just listened was the song of Chris Biantoro entitled Mungkinkah. The song is about the life of a woman falling to the darkness, and when she is in desperate time of her life, there is a man feeling sympathetic and fall in love with her. He also asks her to live her life as if she upholds socio-cultural norms. With Chris baritone vocal, the song Mungkinkah became famous in 70s era and was frequently played in many radio stations. His name turned out to be more famous when he being a master of ceremony at various stages and events, as well as the presenter of the television programs. At that time, Indonesia had only one television station, namely TVRI. Well, listener, I will dedicate to you the next Chris Biantoro song.
Mata suratan hatimu nan merindu, rindu bayangan nan meliputi para seri wajahmu. Mengapa mendusta seribu kata? Mengapa membisu seribu bahasa? Mungkinkah bulan merindukan kumbang? Dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu. Usah kau malu karena asmara, risau engkau risau di aku pun maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu aku pun demikian, rindu sudah nasib untung di badan. Thank you. tumbang mencapai rembulan. Rindu katakan rindu, usah kau malu karena asmara. Risau engkau risau di aku pun maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu, aku pun demikian. Rindu sudah nasib untung di badan. Rindu, 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 rindu.
Listener, thank you for being with us in our daily segment Music Corner to play some old songs sung by the late Chris Biantoro. Listener, to end this music corner, I will present you a song by Chris Biantoro. I hope this song help you to get some knowledge toward Indonesian music. See you next time and goodbye. Sampai jumpa.
Gemilang, malam gemilang, bagaikan bintang timur sedang mengembang. Tak jemu-jemu mata memandang, aku namakan di kau juta malam. Sinar matamu menari-nari, menembus ke dalam jantung kalbu. Aku terpikat masuk perangkap, apa daya asmara sudah melekat. Juwita malam, siapakah gerangan tuan? Malam, dari bulankah tuan? Kereta kita segera tiba, di jati negara kita akan berpisah. Berilah nama, alamat serta, esok lusa boleh kita jumpa pula. Siapakah gerangan tuan? Juwita malam, dari bulankah tuan? Kereta kita segera tiba, di jati negara kita akan berpisah. Berilah nama, alamat serta, esok lusa boleh kita jumpa pula. Esok lusa boleh kita jumpa pula.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Suhan rembulan Aryati di kagemilan seni pujaan dosakah hamba mimpi berkasih dengan Tuhan ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba memuja dikau dalam mimpi? Hanya dalam mimpi. Aryati di kamar di taman khayalku. Terpetik daku walaupun demikian nasibku namun aku bahagia seribu satu malam.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Apakah ku tak boleh mengenal dunia ini menyendiri, sendiri dan menyepi. Apakah ku tak boleh mengenal kasih, kasih sayang dari seseorang yang ku cintai. Hidup bagaikan seekor burung dalam sangkar yang terkekang. Biar sangkar
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.